from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to Art Chat Daddy Sims on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy. It is the Tuesday night edition of your favorite entertainment magazine show here at VON, where we talk about just a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. But most importantly, we hope that you are relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama in your life. We ask that you please let it go. You're in a really lucky place this evening. Why? Because it is Relationship Rehab Week here at WVON, or Real Talk, Real People, I should say. And our good friend Elizabeth Overstreet will be coming up in just a little bit, and she'll talk about seven common misinterpretations that we make in relationships. Women think one thing, men think another, and so we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So right now we're going over the list of the top 20 places for people over 55 for meeting somebody, of the most concentration of singles over the age of 55, and this was gathered by Match.com. And so a couple of you all have called and said, now, is these the top 10 places for top 20 places for brothers and sisters? I said, well, I don't know. I'm just reading the list that people gave me, but I'm sure we can probably create our own list.
Who gave you the list?
The people who did the survey and the study. So you saying it may not be enough chocolate in this
right.
list? Yeah, because half these cities, I'm like, where is it? Where? How do you even get there? All right, so number six is, I don't even know where this is. Wyandotte, Michigan. Number six is Wyandotte, Michigan, so I don't know where that is. Number five is Tyson, Maryland. That's another great place that they said that people would be. Okay, somebody's shaking their head, so that would be good. Number four would be Costa Mesa, California. Number three would be Santa Monica, California. Number two would be Bayshore, New York. And number one would be Vero Beach, Florida. So these are the places where they're supposedly the most people between the ages of 55 and 64 who are looking to meet, mingle, and get to know each other. And so I don't know. I got two ladies sitting here in the studio with me, and both of them sitting there. I don't know. I mean, I think maybe for African Americans, it would probably be someplace like Alabama would be good, Biloxi, Mississippi. Our good friend, award-winning journalist, Miss Kathy Cheney, is here in studio with us this evening. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you, darling?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me in this impromptu visit.
Absolutely. So congratulations on your recent award you received.
Well, thank you so much.
Please tell us all about it.
It's called the Studs Terkel Award, and Studs Terkel was a wonderful journalist. He died several years ago, but he was always making sure that coverage, news coverage, was inclusive and included all communities.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know me, you know that I am a huge advocate for the Black press. I spent, like, you know, half of my 20-year career in the Black press, and I was here at VON as well. And I am always making sure that whatever coverage I do, it involves my community, voices from our community, experts, just everything, you know, stories that are told with nuance, you know, and within the proper context for the Black community. So
that's right.
I am always about, you know, diversity in news and diversity in newsrooms. So with a couple of my other peers who are, you know, pretty much doing the same at their other outlets, we were being honored actually this Thursday with the Studs Terkel Award.
Very nice. Well, congratulations.
Not many
people can brag about receiving that award. It's, you know, really an honor to receive that. Let's give Kathy a big round of applause for that. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Diversity
so
is key.
Oh, absolutely.
In this day and age, we got to realize that we've got to stay in the forefront of what we're doing.
Absolutely. And make sure that the voices that you hear are also Black and brown instead of just white.
That's right.
And I'll just keep it real.
That's right. Once people figured out I was Black, that's how I ended up staying on this show. That's once they figured it out. They was like, you shut up, he Black. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so our good friend Elizabeth Overstreet, she's here a little early and she's going to chime in too. So now, ladies, you both gave me the lemon face about these retirement cities. So do you think they may not be the best for us to retire?
I've heard of a few, like Scottsdale, Arizona. I know a lot of people who retire and go to Arizona. A lot of cops and firemen from Chicago live in Arizona. They've retired there.
Yeah, but now for singles, I wonder if that's a good place, though. You know what I'm
saying?
Right, because that, as you said, that might be the husband-wife situation or the newly divorced, I'm moving out doing my thing. And Match.com kind of came up with these cities, but then, you know, we were kind of sitting here like, I wonder how much chocolate are in each one of these cities, because those are cities. Yeah, you know, when you mention places, people be like, well, you know, I retired to Savannah, Georgia, or, you know, I'm a certain age. And so I just wonder if the where single people are would be more affluent areas versus if you were to move somewhere else like that.
Yeah, I actually was recently in Scottsdale. I think earlier this year, my uncle lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there is a change and a tilt of people moving to places that are less expensive and warmer in climate. So I wouldn't rule it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Scottsdale has come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a nice amount of diversity there.
Well, here's the deal. If you're from Chicago and go out to Phoenix or Scottsdale, any other place, they have pretty much the same restaurants we have here in Chicago.
Matter of fact,
a lot of our major restaurants have open establishments out there. I just wonder, as a single person, what would be the chances? Now, a report recently said, though, that when you are single, warmer weather is better for you than colder weather. And I know some people say, well, I'm a cold weather person. But keep in mind, if you are someplace where the weather's warmer, it makes you want to go out and meet and mingle and socialize
That's true. So, you know, I recently relocated from Chicago last year to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, I didn't think it would be an easy adjustment for me because I was a city girl.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been really nice, and because the weather is nicer, like for longer stints of time versus our 6 months
of
coldness, I do find myself going out doing more. I feel like when you're in that environment, you really take it for granted until you're in that environment, but you get out more and you're more open to meeting people and doing things.
Now, you know, being a lady and moving to a different city, did you find a difference in guys in Raleigh than you did here in Chicago?
So first, a couple of things. Southern hospitality is very real. Like, people are really nice. Like, I thought people in Chicago were nice, and not that they're not, but like, it's a little extra in the South. Like, people
very chivalrous.
Right, very chivalrous. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm on a plane, I can always tell which quadrant of the country I'm in, because if I'm going in the South, the guys are going to like grab your bag or open the door. They're just more self-awareness. But the downside is some of the guys are a little more passive too. So sometimes, you know, you could be working out in the gym or just walking around, and they're not always going to approach you or be as aggressive as a guy to me on like the East Coast or a guy in the Midwest.
Oh, I see. Okay, so more Southern charm, passive,
right,
that type of thing.
A little more laid back.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. I wonder where else would be a good place for people over 55 that's looking to meet somebody.
I was also thinking like Florida could be good because mm-hmm. you have the Caribbean there and you have a lot of people coming from the mm-hmm. Caribbean area. So there is a Caribbean and there's a, you know, atmosphere there, and there's a lot of people of color yeah. or minority. So those mm-hmm. could be some good cities as well.
Yeah. Well, I do know several women, black women, who have, you know, moved to Florida, or they commute between a major northern metropolis to Florida, and they have ended up meeting men in Florida. But a lot of the Caribbean guys, they're about romance and love and relationships yeah. and things like that. So
more
I don't
family know. Centric, I feel like.
That's
they,
right.
They will
mm-hmm.
settle down. Yep.
Interesting. Kathy, anything you want to add to this?
I did hear of Towson, Maryland before, so mm-hmm. I think that may be a good place. And I know that we'll see some, you know, chocolate of all variety there.
In Maryland.
Mm. It is near right. Chocolate City, right?
Yes. Right. So, exactly. Yeah. I'm surprised Birmingham isn't on the list, like you said before. California, I'm not surprised because you said the warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about it, Savannah, I like
Savannah
that.
Savannah would be a good city.
Yeah. Savannah, Georgia is a good city. Yeah. I just wonder what would be the breakdown of single, certain age, that type of thing.
You know, I'm not surprised about Colorado because of the whole ski community. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have people going up to Vail. I can see why singles will go up there because they're in that whole lifestyle.
And, mm-hmm.
and Birmingham might be tough because, like, in those cities, a lot of people, they're small. It's like I was recently in Mississippi a couple weeks ago. Everyone knows each other. So, like, everyone's kind of dated each other, or I shouldn't say that, but everyone's kind of interacted or knows other people, so there's not like a lot of options. So I don't know if that's maybe why those smaller cities didn't make that list.
Right. I'd be curious to know, because like a lot of people are like, where are these cities? You know, so that's interesting. And then we were all saying that maybe they are retirement communities as well, too. Like their population mm-hmm. would be more of a retirement village or community, and that might make for it.
Which one was the Michigan one that was on there?
The Michigan one, I had never heard of the place as well either. And I was wondering where it was. I'll let you see it, Kathy, because in that way I may have been saying the wrong place.
I was when you said Michigan, I thought they were going to say either St. Joseph or Benton Harbor. Because St. Joseph, Michigan, and Benton Harbor, it's about an hour and a half away from here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's a retirement city, but it's definitely a city to have a good vacation home in. The beach is wonderful. St. Joseph and Benton Harbor are right next to each other. Mm-hmm. Benton Harbor has more of a predominantly black community, but it's both beautiful.
And they
both
have great beautiful. Wineries up there,
yes.
A lot of great restaurants, all of that. But again, I'm trying to figure out for the single, would that be the best place? Because, again, that might be someplace for husband, wife, family that
yeah.
type of, you know. So I don't know. It's just interesting to me that trying to find out places for singles of a certain age. That's just interesting.
Yeah, and you know, Michigan has gone through a lot of gentrification. So, mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of different people moving there from Chicago and other surrounding areas. So that, I don't know, like, it would be interesting for them to do a demographic breakdown of mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. they're saying these are good cities for. I agree with you.
Well, the one thing I've had a lot of people say to me that dating here in Chicago just was not the answer for them anymore. That they just felt like it was the same people, same circumstances, same, you know.
Well, you know what? Let me chime in on that one. If you're going to the same events that you go to all the time, every year, where you're seeing the exact same people, then
what do you expect?
Exactly. What do you expect? A few years ago, and I'm not on the dating circuit, but a few years ago, I said, you know what, let me stop going to these same annual events that I see the same people that I saw last week at another event, and mm-hmm. then the week before at another event.
Mm-hmm.
If I keep seeing the same circle of people, then maybe I need to change a few things. I can still go to those events, but I need to seek out new things
right.
and new places to go so I can see some new people, because mm-hmm. it's not really effective networking for me if I keep seeing
the you same
and
you people.
Each mm-hmm. weekend at the same events that I'm going to.
And then the number one question that I get from a lot of women, but men ask me as well too, Chat Daddy, where do singles go out to meet in this day and age? And I said, I really don't know. You know, at one point you'd refer people to a coffee shop to possibly meet. You tell people to go to church to meet. But nowadays, I really don't know, because the entire dynamics of that situation has changed so much that I would imagine it's probably not the easiest thing for people to meet in places like that.
Yeah, I think people are substituting a lot of online dating for interacting mm-hmm. with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But then this takes me back. I think that when you focus on finding someone, you like never find someone.
Thank you.
And we've all been out and we're looking. We're like, where? Nobody.
Thank you.
And then we all been on that bad date and see everybody. And we're like, really? What's this about?
Yeah.
So I think a part of it is like coming back to yourself and figuring out what you enjoy doing and just enjoying your life and doing those activities. Because mm-hmm. I feel like then you're more aligned with meeting someone that's on the same page.
Right.
But I agree with what Kathy said. Like, you can't keep doing the same thing because you're going to get the same results.
Exactly.
All right. All right. Well, Kathy, tell everybody how they can reach you, find you, all that great stuff. So glad you stopped by to hang out with us for a little bit tonight.
You.
It's always
Rest
good
again.
To see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really, it is.
On Twitter, I'm at Kathy Chaney. So it's KathyChaney. On Instagram, it's Kathy Chaney, but it's Kathy_Chaney.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, you probably don't want to see me on there. But yeah, that's me. And read the Sun-Times all the time. I'm at the Sun-Times, Chicago Sun-Times.
She is,
so
yay!
Make sure you log on every day and get your news fix.
That's right. And listen, congratulations on being one of the 2018 Studs Terkel Award recipients, and that'll take place Thursday evening.
Thursday evening.
I'm trying to make this Wednesday. I don't know why. I keep saying it, and tomorrow and Wednesday, and no, it's just Tuesday. What day is it in Spanish, Joseph?
Martes.
Thank you, Joseph. Okay. Yes, it is only Martres. It's only, yes. Thank you. All right. So listen, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about 7 common phrases we use in relationships and what they mean to women versus men. It's Relationship Rehab Week. Real talk, real people. I promise you, we'll be back un momento. Did I do a good job, Joseph? Did I do a good job?
It'll pass.
Look, give us a month, and we'll also have a show on WRLL. I promise you that. Probably offend everybody and their mama, but we'll have a show on there. We'll be back in just a moment.
WVON.com. The website. Check it.
We got it.
Twenty-eight after the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy. It is Relationship Rehab Week here at Real Talk, Real People. So each and every night, this entire week, we'll have some of the most amazing people ever in studio to talk about reevaluating your relationship, whether you're single, married, whatever the case may be. Now, if you're married, we ain't trying to tell you to leave nobody. That's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to help you add a little spice to that relationship. I have a great treat coming on Thursday night. All right, so our first guest. guest this evening is no stranger to Real Talk Real People. You've heard her voice just a few minutes ago in our other segment. She's here tonight to talk to us about seven common phrases we use in relationships and what they mean to women versus men. She is the author of the book Love You and He Will Too, The Smart Woman's Roadmap for Happy, Healthy Relationships. She also is the creative woman behind The New Rules for Dating. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome back to the show, the incredible Miss Elizabeth Overstreet. Yay! What up, what up, what up?
What up, what up?
How are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Glad to have you back. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute.
Yes, thank you. So glad you're here. And look, as always, so you're one of the people that flew in to do this segment. We appreciate you so very much.
I am on the plane all the time, so no problem.
Yes, we appreciate that. And the thing is that, you know, this entire week we're doing relationship rehab. We're trying to help as many people as possible just with easy, simple things that they can do to understand the world of relationships and dating a little bit better. And who better than you to help us tonight to understand seven common phrases that we end up somehow getting them confused, don't understand. And so I guess we're going to break it all down, correct?
We are. You're going to give me the male perspective, and mm-hmm. I'll talk about the female perspective.
Well, whatever you need, I can help you out. Tell everybody a little bit about your background and how you became this relationship expert.
So I, you know, went through a lot of different dating situations in my own experience. I was married, divorced, so I dated as a single woman. I dated as a single mom because I have a daughter. And I've had some successful long-term relationships, but I also went through a lot of pain and difficult situations too. So I'm always trying to think of ways to help people cut down that time so they don't have to spend or waste time with the wrong people or making the same mistakes that I've made. Mm. So this is kind of a healing process for me. And it's also very empowering to help other people in their relationships as well.
Very good. And so that's amazing to me that there are seven common phrases that people misinterpret. And I'm looking at phrase number one here on the list, and it's so simple and so easy, but I guess it does get misinterpreted quite often. And the term would be, I'm fine.
Yeah, and very it means simple, totally very different easy. Things in a man's world and a woman's world. Do you want to start with the man's side?
Well, no.
Because yours is a little easier.
Okay, so the man, and I'm going to read right what you hear. It's pretty simple for a guy. If he said he's fine, he probably does, in fact, mean that he is fine. You know what I'm saying? Where with a woman, I don't know if that would necessarily be the case. Because,
no.
See, with a guy, Joseph, we say that all the time. How you doing tonight, Joe? Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. So it is what it is, right?
I mean,
if I'm upset or mad, I'm going to say something different. But,
right.
But if I tell you I'm fine, I'm fine. So, and I'm not talking about like so fine like that. I'm talking about F-I-N-E fine. Okay, so
and
now.
And that's why you're a guy, I'm a woman. So, mm-hmm. You know, different meanings. So for women, if a woman says she's fine, she's probably not fine.
Oh.
And the key here is to ask the follow-up question, you know, are you really okay? And you will probably get to the next level of what's bothering her. But I'm fine is almost a blanket response of like, I need you to dig deeper, but I'm not going to give it away. So you have to ask the next question to figure out where she's at.
And really, I don't think most guys give up after that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and they should. Don't get me wrong. That's probably why we
if
have
they don't,
issues.
Then she's
that's probably
gonna be fine without them.
Okay, but then something as simple as I'm fine. So with a woman, when a woman says she's fine, we should dig deeper. We should ask more questions.
I mean,
questions.
Not in every instance. So like if I'm greeting you and, you know, say me and Kathy are talking. Hi, Kathy, how are you doing? I'm mm-hmm. fine. I'm fine. But a lot of times underlying there is something else going on because usually women are more verbose and they use more words. So they're saying more things like I'm feeling great. This is what's going on. I'm excited about this. So I'm fine is such a blanket response that usually there's something deeper going on.
Okay.
And
all
if
right.
you think Go about ahead. The tone with which she's saying I'm fine, you got to look at her, you know, her verbal cues, her nonverbal cues. Because at some point, she's probably thinking, you shouldn't even have to ask me that. But okay, I'm fine.
But now what's so interesting, if a guy is new to a relationship, him and this woman are getting to know each other, how would a guy know if her fine is a good fine or a bad fine?
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Body language, chemistry.
All of that.
All of that. Joseph, what do you think?
No, I agree.
Okay.
I do it all the time. They say I'm fine. I say, no, you're not. Something wrong.
Okay, so you do ask that. Okay. So, all right. So then that's what people need to understand.
One guy down.
All right. So very good. All right. So the first thing on the list is I'm fine. So for guys, we all know what we say. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good, dude.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
a guy
okay.
says
yeah.
I'm fine, he's usually fine.
Okay. All right. But for a woman, that means more than
it
that.
Could be more.
All right. So gentlemen, you got to dig deeper and find out what she really is talking about and what she means. Okay. Number two is I need to talk to you.
Yeah. Guys hate this.
Yeah.
They usually associate it with something negative. But it just means there's something serious on her mind and she wants to get it off her chest. And you should feel happy that she's actually coming to you and giving you the opportunity to have that two-way dialogue with her.
Mm-hmm. What if you're dealing with the type of woman she need to talk all the time? Every conversation, I need to talk. I need to talk. Look, I need to talk to you. I need to, you know, I mean, it happens. I'm sure some dude listening now is like, yep, your daddy's so right. Jad Daddy done hit that dead on the head. He right. So, because there are some women that do need to talk about everything all the time.
Yeah.
It's a light bill. It's a gas bill. It's a weed bill. It's something.
Well, when I coach my clients, I feel like there's different levels and places in the relationship. So in the beginning, you need to have a filter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to tell the guy everything. And you need to know kind of, you got to fill that person out. So you almost have to build trust there.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't be like disclosing everything about your finances, your kids, your previous relationships, because it's a time period of you getting to know that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think on that side, I think women have to balance it out. But then on the other side, I think there's somebody for everyone. So for that really talkative woman, there's a guy that's like, I love that. And then for that talkative woman, there's a guy that's like, I can't stand that. So, I mean, people accept you where you are. They meet you where you are up there really for you.
Do you think that men are more attracted to talkative women or women who are less talkative?
I think men don't really hear women at first, because I think the initial interaction with guys and women is it's more physical and visual. So I think initially it's about attraction. And I think they kind of hear you, but they don't hear you. So either they're hearing you to get to the end game of getting to know you better, or they're kind of like ignoring a lot of things, because I think men, it's a little overridden with the visual. And then I think after that, then there's the other pieces, and they're like, oh, she's interesting. Oh, she's smart. Mm-hmm. I think that comes later after they build that bond with you.
So it's beauty before brains.
I think so with men. I don't think that all men are surface and they just say, okay, I'm looking at this woman because she's attractive. But I think the attractiveness of what they feel is attractive does play a factor into them being with someone.
Mm-hmm. Kathy's still here with us. Anything you want to say about that? Right. She ain't left yet. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
No, I agree with that. I'm okay with, you know, a man talking a lot, but it just can't be empty talk. You know, I like substantive talk. So depending on what type of talk it is, I'm okay with that. And then the whole, okay, we need to talk. You've got to think about it. If she's telling you every day we need to talk, you got to think about what you could be doing to contribute to her saying we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's kind of like a two-way
thing. It's two-way street. Mm-hmm. And I was just saying this to one of my peers, that like what I hate a lot is that the conversation is very one-sided about all the things that women have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But men have to meet us halfway. So it has to go both ways. Otherwise, it's like one person's fixed and the other person is broken, and you just have a broken relationship.
Exactly.
Like, you're never going to have a whole relationship.
You know what I think a lot of people might need to develop, and people do have poor communication skills when it comes to what do you talk about with the other person. Like, Kathy, you and I are in the news business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we do for a living all day. Is this something that you would necessarily want to go home and talk to your significant other about? And I think a lot of people don't maybe have enough diversity in their conversation, not because really, I necessarily don't want to talk about what I do for a living.
I've had friends like that where they're like, my significant other does not want to hear about my work life. They think I'm just griping, and they just need to vent. So in that situation, that's when you have other outside friends that you utilize for that conversation. Because I think what happens is we get with someone and we think they're going to be everything, and they can't be everything. There'll be a lot of things, but they may not be everything. So if they're not that person that stimulates you, like you know, you may want a certain stimulating conversation about science fiction, just throwing that out there, and they may not have an interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of figure out, okay, how do I get that need met in a healthy way outside of my relationship? Because maybe they're offering you the other 80% of what you need.
Because I often, you know, another thing that I wonder about too, where men who are very sports minded, they just love and adore sports, and they meet a woman and she has, you know, knows very little about sports. So how do you kind of bridge that gap with the guy who might be the sports lover.
Some guys just, you know, some guys would take that woman along and teach her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, others would say, okay, that's my time with my guys. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the dynamics of the relationship. I just don't think, you know, you're never going to meet someone that's all inclusive on everything. So yeah. that's where you have to come to your compromise and figure, okay, what do we do well together? What do we have in common? And what are our separate interests? Because I think you do need a separate interest to have
Absolutely.
A healthy relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need almost like that break to recalibrate as a couple.
Yeah, you do. Okay, that makes great sense. Number three, where is our relationship heading?
Yep, I like being with you, but is this serious or are we just playing?
Yeah, but see, the problem is most of you women bring that up on the second date at Ponderosa.
Hey, man.
Right. Second date at Ponderosa. Well, see, I had to take it back old school. You know what I'm saying? The second date of the all-you-can-eat salad bar at Ponderosa, you want to know as soon as you sit back down at the table, because he done brought you to this all-you-can-eat buffet. So you trying to figure out where we headed with this relationship. I think a lot of you women jump the gun with that question.
I think women are planners, and I think they're more strategic when they're dating, and I think some women get to a certain point, they know they want something serious, so they just don't want to waste time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hardest thing is when
And again, this is the second date at the Ponderosa.
But not on the second
ma'am.
Date. Second
date at the Ponderosa. So,
but
okay.
It shouldn't be happening on the second date. I think that the best relationships are spontaneous and you have to go with the flow and you got to trust your gut and your instinct. And because people will always prove out and show you who they are. And sometimes that takes time and that takes faith because you don't want to wait, you want to know like right now, especially if a woman's like never been married or she wants to have kids and that's a goal for her. She's trying to figure it out. And I know people like that. They're trying to figure, like they put their career ahead of their personal life. And now they're like, I really want to have a kid. I'm running out of time. I want to get married. But you can't rush the process of love. So I don't think they should be asking on the second date at Ponderosa, wherever Ponderosa is now. But I think that they have to really trust their, you know, their intuition. And if it feels right, it'll feel right. If it doesn't, a lot of times when we look back on relationships where we had, we, you know, that person had issues, there were red flags like all along the way, but we just ignore it.
And so at what point do we or do would a woman?
I think most guys.
Because I don't
know,
think a guy would ever. Does,
some guys do.
Yeah.
I've had guys ask me.
Yeah,
it goes
okay.
both ways. It depends on like how emotional or emotionally invested the person is in you. If they like you more, then people want it to move forward. If you like, but sometimes it's a catch up game. Like you, it takes time for people to like be on the same page with their feelings. So one person might be feeling the other person way sooner than the other person. Then the other person might say, oh, this is a good person. And then it clicks. But sometimes that's not happening simultaneously.
Okay, but it does not happen on the second date.
It does not
at
happen
the
on the second date. But I do think as months pass, like 6 months in, a year, 2 years, people know. I think a guy knows if he wants to like be with you just as a casual relationship or if he's looking for something serious. Because at that point, he's had time to get to know you. And vice versa for guys and women, too.
Okay. All right. When we come back from break, we're going to tongue-tied. We're going to continue our list. I'm caught up on the list. The question we come back is, do whatever you want. Yeah, that's a bad one. That's a really bad
one.
It's a
very dangerous
one. That might flood the phone lines. You understand me? That's a really bad
one. It could create some problems.
You're listening to the Tuesday night edition of Real Talk Real People, where it's Relationship Rehab Week. Come on back and get fixed. We'll be back in just a moment.
He knows everybody. He is Art Chat Daddy Sims. And he's only on WVON.
This is a test. Sugar, sugar, boo-boo. This is just a test. Tell me. What do you know about me? It's just a test.
46 after the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy. It's the Tuesday night edition of your favorite entertainment magazine show here at VON, where we talk about just a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. Want to remind everyone that the WVON Family Care Expo is Saturday, October 6th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Malcolm X College is the place you want to be. 1900 West Jackson Boulevard. It's an action-packed day of workshops, a total resource fair to meet ever-changing family needs in today's society. Everybody has so many different dynamics going on, and we want to be able to help the family the best way possible. We have the following workshops and panel discussions. We have Rethinking Black Family Values, Block Club Organizing in the 21st Century, Accessing That Luchini, Them Dollars for Scholarship Money, job reentry for second chance citizens, and so much more. There's a men's pavilion, women's pavilion, and senior pavilion. Over 30 exhibitors offering helpful information, resources, and don't forget, they give away a lot of great goodies at our event. The WVON Family Care Expo is Saturday, October 6th at Malcolm X College, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., presented to you by Relevant Marketing and WVON. We hope to see each and every one of you there. So in studio with me now is our good friend Kathy Cheney. This conversation got so good, she said, I'm going to stay. Our technical engineer and DJ, the incredible Mr. Joseph Luckett. And our very special guest right now is Elizabeth Overstreet, book author and relationship expert. Her book, Love You and He Will Too, The Smart Woman's Roadmap for Happy, Healthy Relationships. Elizabeth has been with us many times before, and tonight we're talking about seven common phrases we use in relationships and what they mean to women versus men. Now, Joseph, before we went to break, you actually wanted to make a comment, and I do apologize. I didn't realize it. But you want to talk about the I need to talk to you statement.
Okay. I need to talk to you statement. I think a lot of women just want us to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when we get to talking, us men, after you say, can we talk?
Mm-hmm.
We are the type to like to fix things. And maybe she don't want us trying to fix anything. She just want us to listen.
Mm, okay. And that you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what do you feel about that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, men do look to solve problems, which is good because we need that balance. And sometimes women just really want to get it off their chest. They're not looking for you to do anything, but just be there to comfort them, support them, listen, and say, hey, I got your back. It's really that simple. That can get you a lot of brownie points.
Okay, it does.
It
you
does.
Just, I got your back, baby. Whatever you need, I got
you. I got your back. I'm here. You know it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when a woman cries, I know it freaks men out, but it really does. It's really, really sad. But you could do something really simple. Just give her a hug. Just hold her. That's it. She's not looking for you to, like, take the pain away. She's not looking for you to, like, solve it. She's not looking for a big explanation. She doesn't want to talk about other things. She just wants that comfort of knowing that you're there for her.
The smallest thing means so much.
Yep.
Really? I know it's 100 men out there like, where women at? Like, yo.
Right.
Yeah. We in the studio and
I know it's got to be 100 men out there listening to this show right now. Like, Chad Daddy, where them women at? Wait, look, Chad Daddy, have a party with just them kind of women there.
They exist.
Yeah.
They exist.
Okay. Well, look,
but those are normally the women that's always taken.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. That is very, very true. Because I was
sometimes,
talking to somebody earlier today
women,
about.
Are there the women that guys are afraid to approach because they think mm-hmm. they're taken?
Hmm. All right.
And it goes back to what you said about energy. You know, they may not have the same energy or the matching energy that's attracting that woman. So
yeah.
They need to do some.
I'm a big believer that like energy attracts like energy. So
I do too. I believe
when
that.
I went through my divorce, I always call it the dating dark ages because I was dating people I look back on. I'm like, what was I thinking?
And this was after the divorce?
This was post-divorce because I wasn't ready. You know, I was just looking for attachment, and I was attaching to some people that were not good people to attach to. I mean, no knocks to them because if they're listening tonight, but just they weren't compatible for me. But then when I started getting really in touch with myself, the people I attracted are so, like, diametrically opposed to those people I was attracting when I, you know, wasn't sure of who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still, like, kind of figuring out things. So I do think the like energy, you know, you do. If you keep attracting people that are unavailable, emotionally or dysfunctional, then there's something, you're the common denominator. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's something you have to do introspectively to figure out how to fix that. Otherwise, you're just going to keep going through repeated patterns. And I posted something about this on Instagram, how God keeps sending you the same relationship mm-hmm. lessons until you're ready for that next level. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to that next level, it really clicks and you're like, oh, why was I putting up with that? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to go through that introspective phase.
Well, I'm going to stand on the grounds that the sex, I'm going to stand on the grounds that the sex was good.
What you say?
I'm just
going to
stand
sex?
On the grounds that the sex was good. That's why I was so crazy. That's
okay, we'll talk about our session later after the show.
Joseph?
No, I think I got it now. So you see, it's an energy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go out, I'm going to go to the gas station, buy a five-hour energy thing.
It ain't that same type of energy.
Okay,
it's not that,
that
same type
right.
of energy.
I'm going to get it together.
It's nowhere. It's nowhere.
Session will happen after art session.
All you're going to have is a hyped up woman on energy drink. And if she still. If
I think
she
that's
still,
his point.
But here's the deal. She probably still a chick that's hell on wheels. But he going to buy a 5-hour energy drink. So he got a wild wildebeest on his hands.
Right.
You just creating a wildebeest. Poor energy drink.
Almost.
Yeah, whatever. All right, so let's get to point number four before we run out of time. Do whatever you want. Now, that's dangerous. That is very dangerous because you tell a man do whatever you want, a man will do whatever he wants.
So first word of advice, don't tell a man to do whatever he wants. I think every man wants guardrails. I don't think a guy wants you to tell him what to do, but I think it's okay to communicate your expectations and let him make the decision. And his decision will let you know a lot of things about how he respects you and how he feels about you. But I think if a woman is saying this to you, she's pissed off at you, and she's testing your loyalty. She's kind of said to you 3 or 4 times, I don't like that you're doing this particular thing, but you keep pushing and doing it. So, okay, go ahead and do it. But she's going to get to a point where there's finality, and she's going to say, screw it. And then she's going to start doing what she wants to do. And she just won't communicate it. I think men, we know your patterns, and you're a little more easy to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the I'm fine thing. And I think women are, like I said, they're a little more strategic and kind of like.
Sneakier.
We're kind of like, okay, you could do it. But then she's going to now start taking that step back to protect herself.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Everybody good on do whatever you want?
Hold on. So would you say it's almost the same thing as, okay, if I'm arguing with you, if I'm showing you that I'm caring, that means I care.
Right.
But if I start holding back and start being silent.
That means you're not caring as much.
And
so
you
got
to watch out.
Right. So I always say, like, if she's showing action that she cares and she's, like, a little upset about something, that's a good sign because mm-hmm. she's into you. It's when she's pulling back and there's no emotion. That means she's kind of she's pulling back and she's not into you.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Oh, wow. Okay, Joseph, you good on that?
I ain't got nothing to say. I just want to deal with her.
All right. Well, let's continue on our list. Now, number 5 is dead silence. Now, what does dead silence mean?
Yeah, it's kind of a way of getting back at your man because, like, we know you want to talk to us, and we know that silence kills the whole thing, and it's uncomfortable. So, like, the more she's silent, the more the guy is, like, trying to pull it out, you know, pull the communication out of her. So it's kind of a way of punishment, and it's kind of, like, it's kind of a torturous punishment because you don't, like, know what she's thinking. She's not voicing it anymore. So it's definitely a strategy to kind of get you to take her seriously.
Well, let me just say this, guys. If you got a woman and she's been walking around for 3 days in just dead silence, if I was you, I would not eat those grits tomorrow at breakfast. Just
don't
skip.
Bring up the El Green story. Don't bring it up.
I didn't bring her. I didn't say who it was. I just said I would not eat grits tomorrow at breakfast. That's all I'm saying. Go get you some breakfast out in the streets tomorrow. If your woman been walking around for 3 days and have not said anything to you, don't eat grits tomorrow. That's all. After listening to this
and
show
and a way
tonight.
To get back in, go get her some flowers, some real flowers.
Right. Don't go get
know what her favorite flower
know
is.
Know what her favorite flower is and say, hey, babe, what's going on? Let's talk.
But now, if a dude was in dead silence, women would be just as upset about the
man. But men's silence is different. I think when men stop talking, a lot of times there's frustration there or they're trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's like to get back at a person. I think women is more like to send a strong message that I'm upset with you and I'm not going to interact with you. And that's hard. If you love someone, what kills it? Not interacting with them. That's hard to deal with.
So if we're trying to figure it out, we're talking about the relationship, right? We're trying to figure out what's going on with us. So she wouldn't be upset. We saw her act a certain way that kind of made us sit back.
I mean, I'm not saying like these things are like are going to be a certain way for men and women all the time. I think there's exceptions to the rule, but just in observing how men do things, like when men are thinking through a process or they're stressed, they tend to go silent. And sometimes you're like, is that about me? And it's not usually. Usually they're trying to like figure things out. But I'm not saying it can't happen in a relationship situation where there's a disagreement and the woman, you know, the wife, significant other, girlfriend, whatever, gets upset with him. He could totally go into silence for the same reasons, like, mm-hmm. I'm going to punish you too. But it's just more common, I think, that women kind of use silence as a way to create space or to make you kind of come back and apologize or discuss something that you've been avoiding.
All right. Any other questions or comments on that? All right. What do you think we can do once somebody has gone silent? You said buy flowers, profusely apologize, try to get to the bottom of whatever the situation is.
I mean, it goes back to what Joseph said. Just, I think, being present in your relationship, listening, and paying attention to nonverbal cues. Like, you know, if you are with someone and they have a stressful job, you know, trying to make things easier when they get home. They may not always, like, say, I'm stressed out every day, but you can see it by their response because they leave home a certain way, they come home another way. Or if you have kids, like easing the burden of helping out with the kids or doing stuff around the house. I just think balancing out things as a couple always will give you, you know, points. And I have a friend, we always joke about it. He's been married like 18 years. And he's like, I'm always putting money in the cookie jar. Like, and he means it figuratively. Like, he's like, I'm always doing good deeds. So when I mess up, it's almost like my wife is kind of like, okay, he did this, and it ticked me off. But there's so much good that he's done that she kind of overlooks it most of the time.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a smart strategy. And he does. Like, I've seen them interact, and he's always like, okay, I'm kind of pushing it here. And he'll be the first to kind of come back and apologize, say, like, I know I pushed it. I stayed out a little late, but I needed that because I'm really stressed out. I want to go out and listen to music or whatever. So I just think it's the communication piece, and it's also the goodwill piece that helps
Very
the relationship.
Smart man.
Super smart man.
Mm. Okay. All right. Kathy, what you want to add to that?
No, I like that. I like ending on that. He's thinking always putting something in the cookie jar.
And it goes both ways. I don't think this is about, like, men versus women or women versus men. I think that a man appreciates when his woman appreciates him,
absolutely.
And she needs to tell him that too. But I just think it has to go both ways for it to work.
All right. Joseph, anything else you want to add to that? All right, gentlemen. So let's recap this entire list, ladies and gentlemen. The first thing is I'm fine. Whenever somebody tell you that they just fine, you need to check on that and see if that really makes good sense. A guy says he's fine, they leave it alone. When a woman says she's fine, you need to get more into that. I need to talk to you. As you guys all know, when a woman says that, that can be serious. If a guy says I need to talk to you, I just need to talk to you. Where is our relationship heading? You need to put the right amount of time on that. Figure out if it's the most appropriate time for that. You cannot do it the second date while you're out on the date. That just does
Absolutely.
Not make sense. Number four, do whatever you want. That is a open a credit card.
Don't do that, ladies. Don't,
disaster
don't give
and
card,
mayhem.
Yeah, don't do
and
that.
Number five is dead silence. Dead silence does not make good sense. When we come back, we'll do number six and number seven. You're listening to the Tuesday night edition of Real Talk, Real People, where it's Relationship Rehab Week. We'll be back after national news. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to Art Chat Daddy Sims on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
8:06 p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chad Daddy. It is an entire week of relationship rehab here at Real Talk, Real People. Some of the best experts ever are here and will be here this week to talk to you about various situations that are going on in your relationships, your love life, your marriage, all those different things. We're just trying to encourage people to meet each other, love each other, and figure out how we can make this world a much better place. That is the late Amy Winehouse, and I love this song. Everybody tried to get me to go to rehab. I said, oh, no. Well, you're going to rehab this week, whether you like it or not. You're listening to this show, so that means you're all signed up for rehab. Right now, I want to remind everybody that tomorrow night we will continue our rehab series. Joining the show tomorrow evening is the amazing Monique Spence, known as Coach Mo. She's a life coach, and she'll be here tomorrow night. I have invited a room full of men, young, old, married, single, and Coach Mo is going to pose questions to all of us guys here in studio tomorrow night. So we're dedicating the entire show to one woman in a room full of men, and any questions she wants answered, we're going to answer them all very open and honest tomorrow night. So make sure you tune into the Wednesday night edition of Real Talk, Real People, where we're laying it all out on the table. One woman, a room full of men, and any questions she wants answered, we are going to try to answer her questions for her tomorrow night.
So she in there choosing, huh?
Well, she's not necessarily choosing. She's going to have a plethora. She's going to have gay, straight. She's going to have single. She's going to have married. I mean, it's going to be all in any question a woman would want to know from guys, she's going to pose a question tomorrow night, and we're going to answer her questions. So I can't wait to see what she comes up with. It's going to be interesting. Right. I won't see it until she get here tomorrow night.
Will I be in this conversation?
Yeah, all of us. Every available dude on the south side of Chicago will be in this conversation tomorrow evening. We have several tour buses coming in. I've reserved a couple of hotels. Yeah, we plan on having like 800 men in this studio tomorrow night.
So for one woman.
Anything that she wants to know, we're going to be able to answer tomorrow night for her. We're going to stomp her with a few of our answers. I promise you that. Right now, our good friend Elizabeth Overstreet is here in studio with us, and she's a book author, relationship expert, a woman who's just sharing her honest opinion about relationships. Her book is Love You and He Will Too, The Smart Woman's Roadmap for Happy, Healthy Relationships. She also has written The New Rules for Dating, which is a great book. And right now, we're talking about seven common phrases we use in relationships and what they mean to women versus men. And so just to recap, we've covered so far, I'm fine, which we all know is a hot mess. We've also covered, I need to talk to you. That's another hot mess. Number three would be, where's our relationship heading? Number four is, do whatever you want. And that's another hot mess signal. Number five is dead silence. That's another one that'll get you beat down at home. Number six, let's get to number six. Number six, yes, Joseph.
It just sounds like she's trying to control her situation.
Who?
Control a relationship. That's what it sounds like.
With these seven common.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
so far, something's going on with her. Oh, I'm fine.
Right.
We need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And no, then, it's actually from the female and male perspective.
Okay.
These are the seven things.
This is the communication things that can send your relationship like off the rails.
Oh, absolutely.
Just based on how you respond to it.
I guarantee you, any police that have to show up for a domestic situation, I guarantee you the fight has something to do with one of these seven comments we make in the night. Yeah, I'm fine. And that fine turned into we fighting. You know what I'm saying? That
she done hit him in the head with the hot grits.
Oh, absolutely. I mean. That fine ends up you having to call a popo. You know what I'm saying? So, right. And if you were just able to answer, I'm fine, the right way and figure out what did you say?
Right, or diffuse it.
That's right.
Then you just shut all of it down.
But I guarantee you half of the police, when they code for a domestic, it has something to do with one of these questions.
It'll be interesting to look at the transcripts of what happened.
That's right. That most people do not know how to answer very simple questions.
Right.
These are questions.
Or they misinterpret the answer.
Right. All right. So let's go with number six. I'm seeing someone.
So there's a couple of things.
Now, that would definitely indicate the police is coming to the house. That's for sure.
Let's just say we're not in a relationship. That's a for sure. So let's back off the domestic abuse.
Yeah, that for sure will have the police at the house. All right. I'm just telling you how that works.
So just, it's a couple of rules of thought here. So, like, when guys approach you, sometimes women will say, I'm seeing someone, because they're not attracted to that guy, or it's a, like, nice way of rejecting you. Some guys are lucky. They keep pushing through that rejection, and they might get lucky and actually connect with that woman. The other caveat is that if you do have a woman that's constantly saying to you, I'm seeing people, I'm dating, she's not interested in you, so I just say stop. It's like a one-sided pursuit. You're going to frustrate yourself.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm seeing someone. That's tough for you to hear.
Well, that's when you're trying to talk to them. Now, if you're in a relationship with them already,
this is not in a relationship. This is like the dating of trying to talk to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Like from a guy perspective, what do you think when a guy says he's seeing someone? What's your take? I mean, I have a take on it, but what's your take on it?
Well, when a guy says he's seeing someone, that's what he means. He's seeing other people, but he also is interested in whoever he's trying to holler at right now. And in this day and age, you'd be surprised the number of people who are very honest about that up front.
Absolutely.
People tell you from Jump Street, listen, right. I'm involved
in something
else.
And some people still jump in knowing that, so that's that other side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't play a hate on those that accept.
I'm not playing.
Okay, all right.
I thought
you rolled your eyes on people who accept them situations.
There's
a lot of people in them situations right now.
To each his own.
That's right. So, okay. So, all right. We all agree that that is something that will
get you cut.
But
just make sure you disclose it to the person you're in a relationship with.
That is true. And if you married and come home and make that statement, definitely the
post. There was a great post about that. Like I said, how to ask a guy if he's married. Are you married? Is the person you're with, are they married to you? Are you in a domestic situation of 7 years or more? Because people aren't always open about it.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of people who don't wear rings, so you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't disclose. It's almost like a lie by omission.
So you said, how should you phrase that?
One is, are you married? Is there someone that's married to you?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been in a living situation of 7 years or longer? Are you currently separated but not divorced?
Mm-hmm.
It was just all these questions, and I was thinking, that's kind of true. People don't always tell you. You kind of have to pull it out of them.
And I know women still asking dudes right now, you still in your mama's basement? That's another one, huh? They do. You still in your mama's basement? Right. You still in your mama's basement? You still in your mama's basement?
But that's easy for them to trick off with now.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. What time your mama go to bed? All right. Question number 7, last but not least. I like our friendship.
That's exactly what it is, guys, a friendship.
That's a dude thing. Now, a dude will say that in a minute.
Dude will do it in a minute.
Yeah, a guy will do
that
in a minute.
But I think guys almost feel like if they're getting any inkling, guys are more different in the way they approach. So if they get any inkling that it's moving forward, if there's any positive sign there, that they kind of look at it like, I still have a chance. But if she's saying, I like you as a friend, I like our friendship, you're in the friend zone. The friendship zone.
But you know what's so funny? I'm finding more women in this day and age will tell guys, you know, I like our friendship. I do.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially if a woman is really not in a hurry or not thirsty for a guy or that type of situation.
And not to say that friendships can't develop into good relationships. They can. But I just think a lot of times women, we know who we're attracted to and who we have an interest in and who we want to pursue. And women pretty much know pretty quickly if they want to have sex with a guy. Like we've already in our mind thought it out. Okay, yeah, this might be the guy or the guy I connect with. But pretty much when they're saying, like, you're a good friend, you're a good friend, you're a good friend, you're probably a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
If they come to you for friendship dating advice about another guy, you're definitely a friend.
Yeah, you're a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Joseph, that usually happened after she done drank 4 martinis on your bill. You know what I'm saying? That's after you're talking about, you're such a good friend. Girl, you done had 4 martinis on me. Are you kidding
me? That's
why
I just say I don't drink.
You're
right.
We'll
go
somewhere
else.
Yeah, we'll go somewhere. Let's go to a juice bar.
Get some ice cream.
Let's go to a juice bar. Let's go to an all-you-can-drink soda fountain. Yes, very good. Elizabeth, what parting advice would you most want to give to these people? Tonight, you really have helped a lot of people with just 7 common phrases that we hear quite often. Really, when I think about it, a lot of these do help married couples as well, too, because there are certain things you just cannot go home and tell somebody and not expect not to get a beat down.
Yeah, I think communication is really important in a relationship, and the next layer of that communication is respect. So a lot of the things we talked about the top layer, which is how you communicate, how you respond, and how you diffuse the situation. But the second level is the respect piece, because when you respect your partner, there's just certain boundaries you're going to put in place. There's certain things you're not going to do to them that's hurtful. So if you could get just to through the communication piece and kind of just looking at that person and trying to be empathetic, it really could eradicate a lot of issues within a relationship.
Okay, very good. Anything else you want them to know?
Well, if you want to read more about or learn more about me, you can go to my website at elizabethoverstreet.com. And like Art said, I have a book out there called Love You and He Will Too, The Smart Woman's Roadmap for Happy, Healthy Relationships on Amazon.com. And I'm also on all the social media pages, which you can find on my website.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really do hope that people start dating again, you know, because I guess dating had become just so passe.
Almost
people,
extinct in a way.
Yeah,
we're not courting anymore.
And I wonder why. What is that?
I really think some of it's the online dating, you know, the social media component. I think people are looking for something quick. We have more options, but we are kind of not patient in the process of getting to know someone. So we've lost some of those true skills of interacting with people and developing and nurturing a relationship the normal way. Because when you're done or frustrated, you could just swipe left and you can go to the next option.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually hurt us because we're not connecting or have a longevity in our relationships.
Joseph, in closing, you want to say anything to Elizabeth or...
Well, good job.
Good job.
Thank
I think
you,
she
Joseph.
Did a great
that means
job.
A lot coming from you.
Oh,
see that? That's so interesting.
That's a friend thing.
Right, that's a friend thing. That's when you know you're in that friend category. You're in that friend category. That's so nice of you. Right. See, if it had been any other way, she'd been like, hey, baby, thank you.
Right.
Thanks, babe. Thanks. I'll help you later.
I'm looking for the keys.
Right. She was like, oh, Joseph, that was so nice of you. That really was. Elizabeth, do you think, you know, we've been recently having a conversation about interracial situations. We had a wonderful author on that said, you know, that I guess black women really need to look outside the box as far as, you know, other races. Real quick, what do you think about
that? I would
just
say this, like, I think the universe doesn't always send you who you think you should have, but what you need. And so I just think you shouldn't be closed or think a person has to come in a certain category, race, or look, or have a certain job. I think you have to really get out of that mindset because sometimes people could be really superficial, and then you get with someone that has the outside image, but there's not a lot of depth there, right? So I think to your point, yeah, you should be open to dating who can be a good partner to you, and it shouldn't matter if they're black, white, orange, yellow, purple, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, now orange, we all very skeptical.
Yes,
you know
we're skeptical
we're
of Agent Orange. Yeah,
yeah anybody orange right
about
now,
that
we should
after,
be a little nervous.
Yeah, after
right.
I said that. Mm-hmm, yeah. But bottom line is be open to dating someone who embraces you for who you are, who can deal with you, who can handle you, who can love you unconditionally.
All right, give us that website one more time.
You can go to my website at elizabethoverstreet.com. And mm-hmm. there you can see all my articles that I've written and learn more about my book, and also go to my social media. I'm on Instagram under the New Rules of Dating, and I'm also on Facebook under the New Rules of Dating and Twitter as well.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, a big round of applause for our good friend Elizabeth Overstreet, relationship expert and author. Her books are incredible. Tonight, Elizabeth was here talking about the 7 common phrases we use in relationships and what they mean to men and women. And don't forget, number 1 on that list is I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't know if that's going to work or not. It just does not. I don't know. We'll see. All right. I want to remind everybody that the WVON Family Care Expo is Saturday, October 1st. October 6th, I take that back, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Malcolm X College, 1900 West Jackson Boulevard, an action-packed day of workshops, resources like you would not believe. And we are doing this because the dynamic of the family is forever changing, and we need to be able to service families that are in need of advice and all of that great stuff. You know how it all works. That's why you listen to this show. Some of the workshops and panel discussions we'll have is Rethinking Black Family Values, which is very important in this day and age, Block Club Organizing in the 21st Century, accessing scholarship dollars for our college students, get these young people off the streets and get them in school, job reentry for second chance citizens, which is great, and so much more. There's a men's pavilion, women's pavilion, and senior pavilion. Stop by and visit our over 30 exhibitors offering helpful resources and information and great giveaways. The WVON Family Care Expo is Saturday, October 6th, remember that, at Malcolm X College, 1900 West Jackson Boulevard, Chicago. This is brought to you by Relevant Marketing and WVON. So when we come back from break, we'll meet our last guest this evening, dating and relationship blogger, Chicago's very own Tiffany Wade, known as Chicago Tiffany, and she will talk about the pitfalls of looking for Mr. Right. That ought to be interesting. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I promise you we'll be back in just a moment.
WBOA.com. The website. Check it out.
He's charming. He's funny. He knows everybody. He is Art Chat Daddy Sims. And he's only on WVON.